Welcome to the Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I'm your host, Pamela Mashana. Join me on this bi-weekly journey of empowerment, where you'll hear hands-on advice from lifestyle experts, educators, authors, spiritual leaders, and many more who will share tips on how to triumph personally, professionally, and spiritually. We explore timely topics such as overcoming anxiety and fear, educating the reluctant student, cultivating lasting relationships, and strengthening our faith. My hope is that the insights offered on the show will help us envision ourselves using our unique gifts and talents on greater levels for greater purposes. Hello, everyone. Today we have a special treat for you. I have a young lady. Her name is Morgan McGarver, and she is going to share some really insightful things about creativity and God and other things that she's involved with. I'm going to go ahead and have her introduce herself in her own way, but we welcome her, of course.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Like you said, my name is Morgan McGarver. I am a ceramic artist, and I'm also a Christian author. And the ceramic artist thing has been part of my life longer than the author thing. That's just recently become one of my defining characteristics, as you could say. But I started doing ceramics probably about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. But I always say I really started when my grandmother used to keep me when both of my parents worked. I was about 3 years old, and she would make homemade Play-Doh. And so I've always been creative, always been working in some kind of creative capacity. So that was kind of my very beginning. And then how I really got into ceramics was through my scoliosis experience. I was diagnosed when I was in fifth grade, and then I had to end up having back surgery, like spinal fusion surgery, in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was really looking for some creative outlet other than dance, since I couldn't do that during my recovery. So that's really how I got connected with ceramics. And then, as they say, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. I've gone on to get a degree in it, and I have my own studio practice now. And then that's kind of how the book has come about. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Wow, that grandmother story with the Play-Doh. I mean, it's almost, it was a type of foreshadow, I guess. A hint.
Yeah, in a way. Yep.
And I have to ask, because you mentioned dance. I know that in that window you couldn't dance, but were you dancing before?
I was. And I grew up in the South. So I guess a good way to put it is pretty much all Southern little girls are thrown into ballet when they're like, when they're able to stand. So I did ballet for a couple of years. And then I actually started doing Irish step dancing. I really loved just those kinds of movements and the competitive nature. So I was doing that from the time I was about 6 years old until I really couldn't in that span when I was 14 and I had that spinal fusion surgery, that year-long recovery. I wasn't allowed to dance. But I did go back to it after my recovery. It wasn't quite the same though. Like, you know, physically I wasn't the same. So my body had changed, and also my friends had kind of graduated or moved on. So it wasn't really the same, but I did, I do Zumba now. So, you know, I still dance a little bit. It's still fun.
It stood out to me because it's another creative thing. So I'm just thinking of you as a well-rounded kind of creative person. So that's why I wanted to know more about that when you mentioned it. So yeah. Thanks for sharing those things. I think it's always wonderful to get to really know who the guests are. Like I said, it really touched me too, you sharing about your grandma with the clay and all of that. So we get a sense of who you are, a little bit of what your background is. And I think that's wonderful. So let's jump into some of our more specific interview questions. I don't know if it's a specific interview question, but it's something I have for you. I'd like us to kind of consider ourselves as mosaics. Mm-hmm. What story does your picture tell? Talk about the broken pieces and beautiful and the not so. Let me go back. I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me right now.
You're good.
Let's consider ourselves as mosaics. What story does your picture tell? Talk about the broken pieces, the beautiful and the not so beautiful.
That's a great way to describe us. I love that idea of broken pieces kind of making a whole art piece. I haven't done too many mosaics, but I have some experience in that, so I can relate. But it's amazing. There's a lot of different things that have come about. Mainly my scoliosis experience is probably the big one. So at the time, you know, I was about to enter high school. This happened to me in eighth grade. So my recovery process overlapped the end of eighth grade and the beginning of my freshman year of high school. And at the time, that seemed like the worst possible thing that could happen to me. The recovery, you know, bringing a pillow into the classroom and some of the most embarrassing things, like right as you're trying to be in high school and be cool and fit in. And I obviously was standing out and not in the way I wanted. And so, I would consider that a big aspect of my life, just trying to work around that and trying to still be who I was. And I do know I became more introverted because of that. And only now, 12 plus years later, and am I able to really kind of come full circle, and I'm more extroverted now. Like, you know, during that time, I never would have even like done a podcast or something like this, just because I was just so in the shadows. So seeing, being able to look back on that time and seeing myself come full circle like that has been really cool. But everything from pottery is very physical, and so I'm constantly injuring myself. It just kind of happens that way. I dropped a plaster mold on my foot and broke three toes.
Oh no.
I've got a knee injury, you know, things that just keep appearing, you know, tendonitis. But so those are very physical broken elements that fit into the mosaic. But then also there's other things, spiritual and mental. There's all these different things that can kind of come to be the mosaic. And as you were talking about mosaics, it reminded me of an art form called kintsugi. And it's the same idea. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but basically it's an Asian art form. And so what happens is if a ceramic piece breaks, if you drop it or whatever, if it chips, and you want to preserve that piece, they actually mix like epoxy resin with gold, like real flecks of gold dust.
I am aware of
back
this.
Together. Yep. So again, that idea of just creating beauty out of tragedy, so to speak. And then because of the gold and the time that was taken on that piece, the piece actually becomes more valuable than when it started. And
you
I think
want to
that's
hear
just
something funny?
Yeah.
I was about to give that very example to you. I just didn't know what it was called.
Yep.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's a beautiful process. I've tried it. Of course, I'd love to be trained like by someone, a master who's actually skilled at that. I just kind of played around just to understand what it was. But it's a really beautiful process. And I think that that example really relates to our human experience really well. Especially like with my scoliosis experience, I couldn't do anything physical for so long. I had a year-long recovery process. But because of all of that, God has allowed my story to be what it is. I might never have gotten into ceramics if it wasn't because of my scoliosis experience. And that's really shaped my whole life. That's what I ended up going to school for. That's why I'm in the state I'm in. I moved states for this. And so just thinking back, like the whole trajectory of my life really changed and grew out of that scoliosis experience. And not many people connect scoliosis and pottery, but that's the story that the Lord wanted me to have. And I'm just so honored that that's the story that He's given me. And understanding that now, I was silent about it for 10 years. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't want to talk about it. And now understanding the beauty that He has really created through my life and through that story, I'm playing catch up now. I'm trying to share my story as much as possible to glorify Him and to honor Him in that way, because I'm just so honored that He gave me that story. And I've done a terrible job about hiding it under a bushel, so to speak.
But you know what, God has so much grace for us. I love the story about the putting the vessel back together with the gold. Because the original state, even though the pieces are put together, it's not a whole piece anymore. The latter state is more valuable than the first state. And I believe and see it in my own life. That's exactly the way God works. We think, oh, I've become broken. This is the end. And we don't know what God already knows. He had a plan to put us back together with gold. And he knew that we would attract even more eyes as something beautiful. Even because of now what we have to offer, each broken piece has its individual story. And we've been caused through our brokenness, so to speak, to be able to help others.
Yeah.
And that's actually a fulfilling thing. You feel good when you help other people, even if it comes out of a place of your brokenness. I find value in every experience when I find that I reach a point in life when an area that I once frowned on or wish didn't happen, I now find that I have treasures that help other people.
That's beautiful. And that same way, like the gold is outlining those scars, you know, it's not just putting it back together. It's highlighting those painful moments that, you know, is not always fun to talk about, like some of your deepest, darkest troubles. But if it helps other people, like you were saying, then there's beauty that comes of that.
I think I touched on this a little bit with me talking, but let's see what you have to say. I think God requires us to be a mosaic rather than one whole piece. Do you agree or disagree? Why or why not?
That's a great question too. I agree. And looking, you know, just comparing people in the Bible, things don't happen until they're at their lowest points or until they're broken. I mean, you know, name a story, Paul, for example, you know, he was Saul and he had to become blinded by God to be transformed. And even like Daniel in the lion's den, there's so many stories you can talk about that, things, you know, you don't need God when you're high on the mountain because you're doing it all yourself and you're loving life and you really only need God. Well, not only, but of course you are able to see your need for God when you are in the valleys and in the troubles and you're broken and you have nowhere else to turn. And that's when you rely on God fully. And I've seen that in my own life as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as we get older and we get used to, or I think our perception of the brokenness changes over time in the sense that you start to mature and you notice a pattern. When I go through this difficult, this time that I think is so difficult, good always comes out of it. So I challenge myself at my age today to, when I'm going through the difficult time, to already have the expectation that good is going to come from it, rather than saying, oh, drab, here's another bad window. Because I've seen this pattern, I challenge myself to arrive at that perspective sooner.
Yeah, that's great. And also, I expect harder things along that line. You know, if I'm struggling in this area, then I'm expecting down the road, whatever I've learned from how I've handled this situation, you know, whether it's relying on God and having that situation become beautiful or trying to do it myself and realizing I made a mess of things, I've learned that there'll be another situation down the road that will probably be harder. So, you know, it's constantly a cycle of learning and growing in that way and then fixing your mistakes and relying on God more.
Yeah. And I agree. I think it gets harder, but I think God has equipped us for that new level. So I think he's always teaching us who we really are and the strength we actually have. And I think that's why that cycle continues. So we reach a certain point and we're like, whew, I made it. I'm stronger than I thought I was. But God is like, well, you're even stronger than that. But you don't know it yet. And then it always gets to the point though, then, okay, I'm being made strong. What is the strength for? But then the Bible says, let the strong bear the weak. So it goes back to realizing that life is not just about you.
Right.
We learn these lessons through so many different ways. I've never had scoliosis, but I have three slip discs. And at a certain point in my mid-20s, oh my God, I was in excruciating pain for 4.5 months, bedridden. I needed my mother's help like I was a baby again. It was a really tough window. And I had a daughter at the time, and she was about 4 or 5. And I remember being in so much pain that, like, I've really been a hands-on mother, and everybody knows, like, my daughter is my pride and joy. That's the only window of her life where I can tell you I don't really know what was going on. I was so just night and day, excruciating pain. So I know something of bone or back type issues. And I don't mind saying too, it was one day in church. We were at a prayer and praise service, and God told me to stand up. And that was the first time, because my body had curved as though I had scoliosis. I couldn't straighten it. I guess it was just the intensity of the pain, the stress it was having on my body. I actually curved, and to walk, I had to kind of kick my right leg to make it take a step. But anyway, I was in church, and while during praise and worship service, God told me to stand, and I stood, and I heard a pop, pop, pop kind of sound. And that was the first time I could move my body upright again.
Wow. That's
yeah.
amazing.
So I can relate to, our stories are different. I don't want to take away from your story, but I do know
Oh, you
something
understand
of that
me.
Kind of struggle.
Yeah, of course. It's amazing to hear how many people can relate in some way or another. And the thing about like back issues is you don't always know that someone has those because you can hide it to some extent. Of course, like if you're kind of bent over, or like one shoulder of mine was higher than the other. So there were some indicators, but for the most part, no one would know unless you told them. And I think it's such an interesting injury or thing to deal with when it really, you know, it is encompassing your entire torso, but no one really knows unless you tell them. It's crazy.
So you refer to God as God the artist. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. So that is the title of my book. And basically it was inspired by me realizing just how many Bible verses relate to pottery, and not only that, but to God's creativity. And I think that's something that gets overlooked a lot in sermons or wherever. Like, God is such a creative God, and he's only given us the creativity to use for his glory. And that's just so beautiful. And so upon graduation of college, I really started looking into scripture, looking for those pottery verses that would relate to my life and my experience with this degree. And then also looking for a devotional type book or something I could read that really relates the Christian experience to the ceramic experience. And I couldn't find what I was looking for. And so at that time, the Holy Spirit really put it on my heart to start writing. And so I was kind of playing around with some ideas, and I had never read the Bible all the way through, which is crazy because I became a Christian when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And so it's like I'd been a Christian for how long and had never done that. And so I wanted to, you know, like if I'm going to write this book and be this authority on the subject, then I need to know what the Bible says. And if I'm a Christian, then I really need to read the entire Bible. And so I took that upon myself, and it took me 3 years. I was going at my own pace. I wasn't really following anything, any like directional kind of books or anything about that. I just wanted to read it from start to finish. And so during that time, God the Artist, the book kind of came about, and then kind of was put on the back burner, and then came about again. And so I tried to get it published once about 2019, and I was told I'd have to self-publish and pay for a ghostwriter and all this stuff. And I prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit was just saying, you don't have enough experience. And so I thought that meant 30, 40 years down the road, you know, I'll be retired or whatever it may be. I'll be bored and old and gray. And that really wasn't the case. Within the span of about 3 years, I got a job at a ceramics retail shop, and I was doing that. I was answering phones, doing kind of help desk type ceramics questions. I was teaching private lessons. Then the pandemic hit, and I actually moved to work for a potter full time in another state. And so that's kind of how I ended up where I am. And so different things like that, God was giving me that experience along the way. And so this past January of 2023, the Holy Spirit told me to really revisit the book. And so that is when I rewrote the entire thing and began looking for publishers again. And Morgan James Publishing in New York reached out to me and accepted the book. And that's kind of how that story, God the Artist, came about. That God specifically being an artist, that just goes all the way back to the beginning of Genesis. That's the very first verb used in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the world and animals. And, you know, the first thing God did to start the guidebook for our lives was to create. And I just think that's so beautiful to recognize his position in that way, that he is the artist, he is the creative, he is the imagination, and we are the creation. And so reviewing those verses and viewing God in that way, as he knows what he's doing and he has a plan, and it's a beautiful plan. And then him giving us creativity because we're made in his image. And so we can't help but be creative because that's how God designed us.
Yes.
And just using that knowledge to know that our creativity and our joy in the art making process is honoring our Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. I just think that's a beautiful story that we don't always think about.
I love that. I'm gonna have to pick up your book. So you talk about seeing and understanding God's creative nature. And what does that mean in your relationship with him?
I think it helps me understand my relationship with him, especially coming from my pottery background, and recognizing, like, when I pick up a lump of clay, I'm going to prep that clay and get it ready to be put on the wheel. And then I throw the clay, and I know what I'm doing when I'm throwing the clay on the wheel. I'm trained and I know exactly what this is going to be. I have an idea in my mind, and the clay isn't telling me, like, I think I should do this, and I think you should push me in this way or whatever. So recognizing that that's the same relationship we have with God. We are the clay. And so God prepares us, like we were talking about earlier, those little trials. God is preparing us and equipping us to handle the bigger trials. And so recognizing that constantly, while I'm in the studio, picking up on different things, there's so many different techniques and things in ceramics that relate and symbolize our relationship with God. And I think that's just so beautiful. Even like the clay needs to be soft enough to be worked. If the clay is too hard, then it'll crumble. And it's the same way as, you know, if our hearts are hardened, then we are not going to be receptive to God's motions and God's will. We need to be completely washed in the living water of Jesus and constantly renewing our minds, refreshing our spirits with the Bible and God's word, so we're able to be formed in God's hands. And just constantly looking at my relationship with God in that way, and I'm not perfect, you know, I'm constantly like, Lord, you see my mistake that I made yesterday, and I'm making it again today. And, you know, thank you for your grace in that way and your forgiveness. But it does help me be able to understand God from a different aspect.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I love that. I mean, that was just packed with so many beautiful things. It made me think while you were talking about God already knows the vessel he's made us to be. He already knows the mosaic we will be. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of catching up with what he's already written, the script he's already written for our lives. We're on a discovery journey. And you just shared a lot of helpful ways of how we can maybe speed up that process a little bit by staying in the Word of God and cultivating the relationship you have with him. I would say it heightens your chances of discovering the type of vessel he's made you to be. That's really good. Really good imagery. And I'm so proud of you, young lady.
Thank you.
And man, you have a story as to why you're able to come up with such wisdom at such a young age. So how does your faith play a part in your creativity? So I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a writer. I'm an author as well. I write novels, and I have a few things to say about this too, but let's hear what you have to say.
Sure, of course. From the ceramic standpoint, you know, there's things that I do in my studio practice. So I am not in my studio on Sundays. You know, there's things that I'm constantly honoring God just through, you know, the law that he's given us in the Bible. So whatever my sales are, I'm tithing on that. And I'm not working in that way, physically working in the studio on Sundays. And I really try to honor God in that way. There are some festivals that come up that overlap with a Sunday or something. And I understand that's Old Testament law, and whatever your take on that is, you know, like God is constantly giving us his grace as well. And things are what they are. I don't love it. And I try to avoid shows, especially if there are Sunday only shows, just because that's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. But there's other things in my practice as well that I'm trying to honor God with. I think that creativity and honoring God is more than just putting a cross on a canvas, so to speak. Yeah. I don't think it has to be that cliche. Mm-hmm. I think that we can honor God in the beauty of creativity and in the beauty of our work, whatever that piece looks like. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily like write Bible verses on my mugs or something. Mm-hmm. But then from writing God the Artist, the book standpoint, there were very specific things that the Lord was telling me. And that's honestly the first time that I understood what a healthy fear of the Lord really looked like. Mm-hmm. Because there were things that he was telling me that were not, you know, the Ten Commandments in the Bible. These were specifically rules that I needed to follow to honor him. And one of those was when I was rewriting the book this past January, the Lord told me, don't look up publishers until after the manuscript is written. So I am so impatient. I get my, you know, get ahead of the game and whatever, put the cart before the horse, whatever idiom you want to use. I'm constantly trying to hustle. And that was a real challenge for me. But that was one of the, there were several rules, but that was an example of something that I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, do not get ahead of yourself. Write it first and then look at publishers. Don't write to please a publisher, so to speak. And that's what I was doing. There was a time that I thought, this can't really be from the Lord. You know, like this can't really be what he's telling me. Is it that literal? This isn't in scripture. And I picked up my phone to look up publishers. And I heard, you know, I heard the Lord, like I could tell that was a message from the Lord. And he loud and clear was like, do not look up publishers on your phone. And I literally threw my phone across the room. I said, okay, Lord, you know, that is a healthy fear. That's something that I need to do to honor you. Wow. And so trying to seek the Lord in that way. And I don't hear him that loud and clear in every aspect of my life. But this whole process of writing God the Artist has completely, I've completely given it to him. I tried the first time, it failed. So I've said, you know, Lord, if this is really your will for my life, if you're really telling me to do this, then you're going to have to take every aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know anything about publishing a book or writing a book or anything like that. And so whatever you're telling me to do, I will honor you through that. Mm-hmm. Because the only way this book is going to get anywhere is through your will. And so that's a very long version, but that's a way that I've found I can honor God through my creative process.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. For me, I just like to invite him in to my creative process. So before I start writing, I'm like, okay, God, I see it as we're doing this together, co-author. And with that, and that's one of the reasons I was so excited to have this conversation with you. God is creativity. He is the source of creativity. So I believe that when you're creating, you're tapping into a part of God. And I believe that we have access to what God knows. So I try to open myself up to what God knows about what I'm trying to do, what the structure of the piece should be, what words should be used, what rhythm. I'm not thinking about it that deeply because I tend to just write in a way that the story spills out of me, not necessarily a strict outline of things. But I believe that my outline exists in my prayer time when I'm approaching that moment when I'm going to write and I'm saying, okay, God, what is it? What are we going to do today? And it starts to kind of take a shape that way, but I'm still kind of open. I don't like to overplan. I like to see what are these characters going to say? What direction are they going in? What are they curious about? And I trust that the overall message, the whole reason that I would be writing this book, will come across because God is going to help me weave it together to tell the story and put out the message that some people in this world may need.
That's great.
So we both have our processes that we use. So what do you know that maybe you haven't shared already that can be a bridge to help one get to their next level of best around this topic we've been talking about, creativity and faith and all this stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question. And I would just say to take the risk and apply, whatever that looks like, wherever you are, if that's applying yourself to, you know, further your art process, if that means that there's a project you've been thinking about or you've got it, but it's not finished. Just recognizing that, like, you can honor God through that, and you can bring joy to God. If it's a joyful process for you, then you're bringing joy to God. How can that be?
Oh, I love that.
Wrong? Yeah. So, just really applying yourself in that way. So whether that's working on making more art, or if that's on showcasing your work in some way, I always say, like, I apply to things that I take healthy risks, so I relatively know what I'm applying for, but I just apply, you know, like if I think, oh, maybe I'm not far along yet, or maybe I'm too young, or maybe I don't have a master's degree and I'm not this experienced, like, you know, if it's something that I think, well, if I got accepted, I could probably still handle it. You know, I could ship this piece off to this place, or I could complete this exhibition or whatever it would be. I apply just to see what happens, because you're getting your work in front of, so to speak, like masters in their field, you know? So every time you're submitting for a jury or submitting for something, there's people who are going to look at your pieces and recognize you for what you're doing. And that can be great feedback as well, just putting your work in front of people. And then also, you never know where those things may lead. Like, you know, God's going to give you what his will is. So if you apply to something and you think you're not good enough, but God allows you to get in, then honor him through that. And that's a way that you can further your art process and grow your confidence and apply to something even more crazy down the line.
Yeah.
So I say just always keep applying, even if you're not completely sure what it is, just try for it and see what happens.
I love it. And I'm going to apply that even more to my life. You're giving me some good stuff too. I do that, but I guess I'm in a window where some ideas came to me even just yesterday. And you talking about this is like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's great.
Like a confirmation. So there's something you said though that I wanted to touch on. You said if you get joy from it, God gets joy from it. And when I was listening to you, I was thinking, wow, that's absolutely true, because it's like when you're doing what makes you happy, you're 9 times out of 10 in your place of what God designed you to do. That's why it's bringing you so much joy. And just the idea of the joy God gets from us operating as he designed us to. Like we were supposed to be in that place. And I went even further because I'm a mom. I get joy when I see my daughter learning in the various ways that she is capable and talented. As she discovers it, I get such joy because even as a natural parent, I can see it from afar off, but it takes her to discover it for herself. Then it made me go even a little further, and I'm thinking about DNA. I remember my daughter was born. The first thing I did is look down at her, and I'm trying to see a piece of myself. Where am I in this kid? So she was born really, really light skinned with freckles. So I'm like, is this my kid? And then I zeroed in on her nose, and I'm like, that's my nose. And we're excited and proud when we see a piece of ourselves. Now, I'm using a very natural example, but even when I see her do things like me that you'd have to know intuitively, or it's something about me inwardly that I also see in my child, I get so happy. So where am I going with this? I always think God looks at us as we learn and grow and we're transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that he looks down at us and he says, where am I in my kid? That's my nose. Oh my God, that's my nose. And there, God's excited when we take shape to be as he intended us to be. So you were making me think of all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison too. I mean, father-child relationship, mother-child relationship, that's another great way to see that symbolism of just God's relationship with us. And you're right, exactly. Like him seeing himself in his creation, that's beautiful. And that's what we're designed for. You know, we're made in his image, so we're designed to honor him. So any way, any aspect that we're honoring him is going to bring him joy and excitement in that. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's beautiful that what you shared. So we are now coming to the close of our wonderful, exciting, insightful, fun conversation. And this is where I'm going to ask you to share any information you'd like to share about how people can get your book, get your art, get in touch with you, be in contact with you. Go for it.
Of course. Thank you. I pretty much will just send you to my website. It's morganmccarver.com. So it's just my name, www.morganmccarver.com. And from there, you can sign up for my newsletter. You can shop my Etsy page. You can order God the Artist, the book. You can see all my artwork, see what upcoming shows I have if you're in the area, and follow my Instagram, social media. I'm on pretty much most of the major platforms, but it's probably easiest just to direct you to the website. And from there, you can do all that good stuff. Contact me directly. I'd love to hear from you guys. At the end of each chapter of God the Artist, there's a creativity challenge. And so it's really designed for the reader to come alongside and be a part of this story and be active, not just passive in reading this book. And so I'd really encourage you to send me your completed creativity challenge pictures, whatever that might look like. I'm so excited to see how you guys respond to this this story and this book, and how you grow your own creativity and your own relationship with God in that way.
Beautiful. Well, I'm just going to say thanks so much again, Morgan, for being a guest on my show, Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best. You share wonderful things that can help people go to their next level of best. And that's what this show is all about. And I'm so proud of you. And just keep doing what you do. And I encourage listeners to, check out your website and glean from it all the multifaceted things you just shared.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. This has just been such a fun conversation and such a good, deep conversation that we don't always get to have. So I've really enjoyed this time.
Wonderful. Thanks again. Well, friends, thanks for joining me for another episode of the Envision Together, Going to Our Next Level of Best podcast. I hope today's topic inspired you to envision a brighter future getting to your next level of best, and to urge others to reach theirs as well. If you are encouraged by today's episode, subscribe and share it with your family and friends. Also, please write a review. It will help me to reach a wider audience with a message of hope and inspiration. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and share your thoughts about today's episode. Until next time, envision the future you want to see.